Man, it's a blessing to be here at Verity Baptist Church, and this is a church that I highly esteem. We're praying for you down south of California. I'm thankful that there's another church in California, just like yours, and of course, we're down there doing the work as well, but we love Verity Baptist Church. We love your pastor, and we love the people here. Thank you so much for your hospitality, Brother Oliver. It's been a blessing as well, and I'm excited about the documentary. Pastor Jimenez, you just gave away what the documentary was. Hopefully no one's watching this online. You know, hopefully they find out I'm preaching and they're not watching, all right? But it's all right. It's going to get out anyways, right? So, but we're excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. I have my one of our church members here, Brother Alex Berea, good friend of ours. And so we'll start tonight. The title of the sermon this evening, is Save Thyself. And we're going to focus on verse 16, where the Bible reads here, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Save thyself is what I want to focus on this evening. Now, people often use 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 to teach a works-based salvation. I don't know if you've ever heard that. I've heard that before. And people who believe that you can lose your salvation or that you have to work for your salvation, they'll take you to this and say, see, it says right there, you have to save yourself. And them they hear you by taking heed to the things of God, continuing in them, etc. And obviously we know that's error. We obviously understand that that's a false doctrine. And what they're doing here is they really have a misconception of the word saved, the word save or salvation, simply for the fact that throughout the Bible that term is used, but it's not always in reference to being justified. It's not always in reference to getting eternal life. Let me give you some examples here. Go with me, if you would, to Joel chapter number 2. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter number 2. You go to Joel chapter 2 and verse number 32. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 20, the Bible reads here, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we understand that the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that is in reference to salvation. That is in reference to being justified, getting eternal life. But here in Acts chapter 2, it's actually a quote from Joel chapter 2 in reference to our flesh being saved, of course, referencing the end times. It says in verse number 32, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And so it's rendered there as delivered, whereas in Acts chapter 2, it's rendered as being saved. It's not talking about eternal life. It's talking about they that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And it's talking about our flesh, the last 75 days of the great tribulation. And of course, at the end of that, Christ comes back, he raptures us, and that's how we can be saved physically from the persecution that's going to follow. Now go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 8. This is all introduction. Jeremiah chapter number 8, if you would. It says here in verse number 13 in Jeremiah chapter number 8, "I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities. And let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us the water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble." Now skip down to verse number 17. It says, "For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord." Skip down to verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now, that's not talking about, you know, some lost person out there who's like waiting for salvation to come, a soul winner to come, some gospel preacher to come. And they're like, man, the harvest has come, the summer has ended, and no one's come giving me the gospel. He's talking about being saved from the wrath to come. The fact that God is judging Israel at this time. He's like, we're not being delivered from this. And look at verse 21. "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" So throughout these verses, we see that not all the time when the word saved is being used is in reference to eternal life. Now with that thought in mind, go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to be there the majority of the sermon. So if you can put a pen there, a bookmark. Verse 16, we'll read it again. It says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So what is that talking about? Why is it saying, why is it using this reference of being saved to, you know, taking heed and these efforts that we have to put into it? Well, the entire chapter really defines what that means. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So what is it saying? That in the latter times, which we're in the latter times today, a lot of people are going to depart from the faith. Why? Because there's false teachers out there. False prophets and false pastors. And what are they being influenced by? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You say, what's a doctrine of devil? It's a teaching of Satan. And so in the last portion of this chapter, he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." From what? From seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, we need Christians today that are willing to save themselves. Not, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about being justified as far as eternal life is concerned. I'm talking about being saved from false doctrine. You know, not be careless and allow whatever doctrine comes through the internet to be influenced by it. Save yourself from those things. From these devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Read it again. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You know, we live in a day and age today that there is a great falling away. And no, we're not talking about the pre-trib falling away where they're falling up in the rapture, okay? We're talking about the falling away of apostasy. People believing strange doctrines that are coming from devils. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 if you would. So it's very easy to define what that means to save yourself and them that hear thee. From what? From seducing spirits and doctrines. Doctrine simply means teachings of devils. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says here, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season." Verse number 2. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now look at the contrast in verse number 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So it's telling us this. Hey, pastors. Hey, people who preach. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and commentaries. Is that what it says? No, it says doctrine. Amen. Why? Because there's going to be people who have itching ears. They want to listen to the false teacher. They want to heap to themselves these false pastors and false evangelists and false deacons who want to teach false doctrine. And he says, do that because what's going to happen is you're going to turn into fables. Look at verse number 5. It says here, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So it says here, we need to make full proof of our ministry. Well, how do you do that? Well, we'll work our way backwards. It says, do the work of an evangelist. What is that? Soul winning. This is a soul winning church. The churches in our movement are soul winning churches, and we need to keep that the main thing, and the main thing is soul winning. Keep going out there, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, obeying the Great Commission. It says also endure afflictions. That means have fortitude. Don't be a sissy. You know, no pain, no gain kind of mentality is what we got to have. Okay? Don't get your feelings hurt when Pastor Jimenez comes up here and he steps on your toes. Don't leave church. Don't get all offended. Hey, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Endure afflictions. The afflictions that Pastor Jimenez dishes out when he's preaching a hard sermon. The afflictions of trials that come through your life. The afflictions of persecutions. Endure those things. But then it says there, watch thou, the first thing, watch thou in all things. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. What does it mean to watch in all things? Well, I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7 where the Bible reads here, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer." So the first thing we got to watch is in this matter of just being prayerful. We need to be a praying people. You know, so often we emphasize the external things, which are very much important, soul winning and reading the Bible and all these things. But you know what? We need to be a people of prayer, a people who depend on God, people who have faith and they're praying for God's protection, for God to prosper us, for God to make us successful and help us to be vigilant, sober, so that when these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils come, we don't have our head in the sand. But look at Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You see, Pastor Jimenez, what does he do? He's watching for your souls. Now, he's not some Pentecostal pastor that's like, you know, he has visions about you and he has some sort of power over your soul or thinks he has. No, how does he watch for your soul? By preaching the word, being instant in season, out of season. Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's how he's watching for your soul. So he watches for your soul by praying for you, but you know what he also has to do is get behind the pulpit and teach the doctrines of God to watch for your souls. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So the Bible tells us over and over again, hey, we need to pay attention. Don't say, oh, you know, I've heard this before. Let me just go ahead and tune out. No, pay attention. He said, well, you know, I've already heard this sermon. I've heard principles about this. I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z. I'm just going to tune out. No, you need to pay attention. And in fact, if you study the Bible, it's a lot of just repetitious teachings. The Bible is just the same story over and over again, taught in different ways. You see, you ought not to be looking for a new doctrine. Okay, we ought to be content with the same doctrine and say, hey, I need to reinforce this doctrine in my life. I need to make sure that I'm learning. And look, because it's the Bible, we're always going to learn something new or a new facet of that doctrine. That doctrine is not going to change, but the way we look at it can. Okay, we can grow from that. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Save thyself. You know, thank God that we don't have to save ourselves as being justified before God. But you know what? After salvation, we have the responsibility to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we're vigilant because there are false prophets and false teachers who are out there who want to deceive God's people. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. So there in Ephesians 4, it's saying this, look, don't be a child anymore, okay? You say, well, you know, I've been in church for 20 years. Don't call me a child. Well, just the fact that you're using the amount of time you've been in church to state how mature you are goes to show you're not very mature. Because you could be in church for decades upon decades, and you know what? That doesn't mean you're grown in Christ. It still means, it could still mean that you're a babe in Christ. I know people in my old church, they would pull that out all the time. I've been a Christian for 30 years. And it's just like, so you still haven't learned. I've read the Bible and you still haven't learned. So don't pull that card. Because you know what? Because I've known babes in Christ who learn a lot more and they accept a lot more. And guess what? They're in their Bibles. They're memorizing Scripture. They're reading the Bible cover to cover and they're learning doctrine. It's typically the one who thinks they know it all who gets deceived. You know, but why? Because they're so proud. But it says there is that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. What are the winds of doctrines it's talking about there? The seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils. I don't know, something like modalism. You guys know what that is? You know, something like oneness. You know what that is? You know, like just doctrines like that, just doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And look what it tells us to do because of that. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay. Now, I'm talking to the people really who are babes in Christ. If you're not a babe in Christ, let this reinforce what you already believe. But you know, if you're a babe in Christ and you haven't read the Bible through cover to cover, you need to start. And you need to start getting serious about the things of God now. He said, well, you know, are you like making reference to something that happened this week, you know, with Garrett Kirschway and Tyler Baker and Dominic? Yes. Of course I am. You say, oh, you shouldn't say that about Brother Garrett. You know, he's being deceived. No, he was the deceiver, is what he is. He was a devil from the beginning. That's so mean. Yeah, it's mean, of course. Amen. You know, that guy's a devil from the beginning. He's a false teacher. He's a false prophet. He had a lot of people deceived, including myself. But looking at what he teaches, it's not like, okay, this guy just got confused. You know, this guy just, you know, went off his rocker. He got influenced by the wrong people. No, he is the wrong person from the beginning. You see, we need to be able, we can't sympathize with people and make excuses why they believe this false doctrine. You know what it is? He's a wicked man is what he is. Okay. Well, you know, he just has a different view on the Trinity. Yeah, this is his view on the Trinity. There is no Trinity. Okay. And you can't tell. Look, I remember when I first got saved. When people first get saved, I'm going to tell you just right off the bat, they'll understand the Trinity right off the bat. And I'm going to explain to you why. When you first get saved, if you got saved in an independent fundamental Baptist church or a church that emphasizes the Bible, they'll give you a Bible. And what do they tell you to start reading first? John, right? In fact, there's two books that they tell you to read first. They'll tell you to read Proverbs, because there's a chapter for every day of the month. And then they'll tell you to read John, okay? Now, if you didn't have someone tell you those things, by default, what book do you think you're going to start reading? Genesis. You think that's by accident? No. Why? Because in John 1:1, it talks about the Trinity. And just in case you don't have a church that teaches you those things, don't worry. God put the most important doctrine in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis. So you'll get it. Oh, but verse 26, what if the babes in Christ think that that's the angels? You're an idiot. No brand new Christian will even know anything about angels till later on. They'll say, oh, and let me tell you this. Every saved person knows about the Trinity or they're not saved. I'm not talking about the intricacies and the details of the Trinity. I'm talking about they can have a very shallow, not in-depth understanding of the Trinity, but they'll believe the Trinity. You say, why is that? Because that's what they need to be saved. You see, any person who presents the gospel in a thorough manner, they'll talk about God the Father. And who's he? Well, he's the one who sent God the Son. And what happens when he sends the God the Son? He died on the cross. He was buried. He resurrected. Are you willing to believe on him for salvation? Yes, they believe on Christ. And guess what we tell them? We say, now the Holy Spirit of God is sealed within you until the day of redemption. So guess what? They hear about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that when they read John chapter 1, and they read Genesis chapter 1, and when they read about our likeness and in our image, they say, hey, I know who he's talking about. He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's not like, oh, the angels. That's who he's talking about. I know for a fact that it's the angels. No. See, you're a deceiver. You're being deceived, but you're also a deceiver is what you are. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, please. There's a lot of people turning away from the faith today. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Save thyself. Save thyself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 18, says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. One of the most blasphemous things that I've ever heard in my entire Christian life is for someone like Tyler Snaker to get up and mock the fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That's blasphemous. You know what? He can laugh it up all he wants, but you know what? God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, the Bible says. These people blaspheme is what they do. I'm tired of hearing about this subject. No, we need to continue into the things which we have heard. We need to talk about this subject more and more. Go to chapter 6, please. It says here in chapter number 6 of 1 Timothy, chapter number 6 and verse number 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So the Bible says, when we give heed to profane, what is profane? Something that's unholy. Vain babblings. The Bible says we're going to err from the faith is what we're going to do. You don't have to turn there. Psalms 119, 21 says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. You see, Garrett Kirschway has erred from the commandments of God. Therefore, the Bible teaches us that he's not cursed right now. No, he's been cursed. So don't sympathize for someone like that. Let him be anathema, the Bible says. Let him be cursed, is what the Bible says. Psalms 119, 118 says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Proverbs 19, 27 says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. See, you know, I'm not the type to just question anybody's salvation if they say they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when clear teachings are explained of what the Trinity is, and you're just still like, ah, well, I just don't know about that. That makes me question your salvation. You say, well, hold on. Sorry, I thought you just said, you know why? Because when God puts it on the bottom shelf for us and we still can't understand it, there's a principle in the Bible that says this, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Matthew 22, 29. Go with me if you would to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Matthew 22, 29 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. 1 Timothy 2, 12. So what's the message today? Save yourself. Get in the battle. Get in the fight. Save yourself from false doctrine. Don't be someone who's straddling the fence on any of these issues. And look, maybe you're like, well, I believe in the Trinity. I understand that. Then you know what? You need not to sympathize with those who don't. Okay? Don't sympathize with people who have been booted out of the church. Don't sympathize with people who have been labeled a heretic and say, I just don't agree with Pastor Jimenez that he kicked that one dude out. Back him up. Back them up. And look, the Bible tells us right here that these people err from the scriptures. They don't know the power of God. They don't know the Bible. I think that guy was sincere. Look at all his YouTube comments. You know, Evan, which I'm sure he's going to watch this sermon, and he'll send me some personal message. You earned yourself a video. That fool. You know, it's funny. He came right when we started the church. He made some video making fun of our church called Training Day Baptist Church. Mocking our church, right? Making us look like gangsters. Well, thanks. We don't mind that at all. The guys in my church are like, man, this is a pretty cool video. We should post it on our channel. Keep the sodomites away, amen? These people are idiots. And look, I picture these people on YouTube making these comments, and I think of like some 30-year-old living in his mother's basement with no job, saved. Was in the transgression. So what can she be saved from? Being deceived. So, well, how does childbearing help with that? Because when you have children, you ain't got time for nothing else. You don't got time to make comments on everyone's, you know, thread or YouTube post or whatever. You don't have time for that. Amen? So what we have to do is make sure that we're keeping ourselves busy. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. It says, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 says, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be what? Idle. Wandering about from house to house, from Instagram post to Instagram post, from Facebook feed to Facebook feed. From YouTube comment to YouTube comment. Oh, I'm sorry, I added to that. You see, when you're idle, you have nothing better else to do than to get involved in other people's business. I'm not talking about getting in the business of the false prophets and rebuking them. I'm talking about making sure you keep yourself busy so that you can be saved from being deceived. And not only idle, but tattlers also. And busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Why, they're being deceived. They're wasting their time. Now, what does tattlers mean? What does busybodies mean? Well, I come from Los Angeles where there's a lot of Hispanics, and we call it being a chismosa. That means a gossiper, okay? You're just involved in everyone's business. We all have the tía, those of us who are Hispanic, who's just a chismosa, just a gossiper. And what does it show us? They got nothing better else to do with their time. You know, and what happens when that takes place? You're going to end up being deceived. You know, one of these heretics that was thrown out just so happens has a wife who's just that, a tattler and a busybody, getting involved in everyone's business. You know, it's funny that this lady, she's on, you know, she's on Instagram making fun of Tyler Baker and, you know, making videos against him and making all kinds of comments, how stupid he is, how can he not believe the Trinity? But guess what? Her own husband, Dominique Davis. I'm oneness. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm oneness, Pastor Anderson. No stones to come to tell him to his face. And all of a sudden, what? They just switched their position. You know, she just wrote a comment on Pastor Anderson's sermon talking about, you know, bashing the Trinity. You hypocrite. But you know what it is? It's people who were, it's a lady who had nothing better else to do. You know, she should have been just studying her Bible instead, reading her Bible. But what is she on? She's on Facebook all the time. You know, and look, thank God for Facebook and Instagram. But you know what? After a while, that thing becomes a waste of time. If you're not careful, you know, because you're just like, and what happens? 5 hours go by, and you're just like, I got to stop. I got to go do laundry. I got to stop. My son, my kid needs to eat like 3 hours ago. You know, it's funny, but it's true. Busybodies. Tattlers, chismosas. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, please. There's a modalist heretic woman who like trolls my channel all the time. And, you know, it's like, how? And you look at the time frame that they watch the video or they comment, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, what are you doing? Have you no life? Like, she's like probably on her bed, like, you know. And she's just constantly commenting, constantly trolling, you know. And one time I told her, I said, do you have a family? Do you have children? Can you go make your husband a sandwich? Can you go do your laundry? You know, and she's like, well, you never answered my question about the Trinity. Go do something else. You know, and typically most of these modalists haven't even read the Bible cover to cover once. They just like to pick out their little verses here and there out of context to say these things. But this is what I'm talking about. You say, you know, oh, maybe she's being sincere and she really wants to know. No, she doesn't. Anybody who's been given 3 verses on the Trinity who reject that, they're a heretic. They've been subverted, the Bible says. We give no heed to people like that. It's like, okay, you're not being sincere. You're a fake. You're a phony. You're a troll is what you are. Actually, she called my cell phone. Being in this movement, I learned I can't answer all the phone calls. I'm like, man, this is a different, who is this, you know? And all of a sudden, it's some reprobate, you know, cussing me out or whatever. But this lady called, and she tried to act sincere, you know, I just want to know, you know, all these things. And I gave her a bunch of verses. And then what did I catch her doing? Like a day afterwards, just commenting on one of my sermons. This guy's an idiot. This guy's a heretic. It's all about oneness. You know, all these things. And it's just like, she's a liar. But that's what these modalists are. They're the biggest group of liars I've ever met in my life. Hypocrite liars. In fact, look what the Bible says in verse 2 of 1 Timothy 4. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with the hot iron. So the vessels that Satan uses to spew out these heresies are lies and hypocrisy. What does that mean? That means they speak out of both sides of their mouth. You know, like 6 months ago, they'll be all for the Trinity. 6 months later, they're like full-blown modalists. 6 months ago, what they'll do is they'll make a video refuting Tyler Baker and talking about, you know, how it's all about the Trinity and making all kinds of verses and videos against oneness. And what do they do 6 months later? The exact opposite. And it's like, how can you even expect anybody to take you seriously? When I have your video. I download it before you can delete it. Where you're saying the complete opposite. You say, why do they do that? Because they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And it says there that they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Well, our conscience is the seat of where we determine what's right and what's wrong. But if it's seared, guess what that means? When something's seared, it means it's numb. In other words, you're just like, you can't feel anything. So you can't tell the difference between what's right doctrine and what's wrong doctrine. They just accept any kind of doctrine. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn there, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Past feeling means this, their conscience is seared, they can't feel anything. They can't even feel how stupid they look when they make their videos. You know, Garrett Kirschway should have thought ahead of time, maybe deleted some of the videos that he posted against the Trinity before he made the video on Sunday. It's like, Garrett, you just made a video talking about Tyler Baker, and then you turn around and you call him pastor. And you expect people to take heed to your doctrine? How can they even give heed to your character, your integrity? You have none. Go to Titus chapter 1, please. So why are you talking about this? Because it needs to be talked about. You know, we're not the old IFB that when some scandal takes place, you just sweep it under the rug. It's like, nah, everything's all right. Everything's okay. Giovanelli didn't molest anybody. And then, you know, when they're kicking him out, they're like, his name is, and then they just bleep out his name. Derek Kirschway, Dominique Davis, and the rest of them. There. Why? Because it needs to be said in public. They did these things in public. It needs to be rebuked in public. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I was talking to Pastor Jimenez, and you know, obviously, now looking back in hindsight, you start thinking about all the conversations you had with the heretics and stuff like that, and you try to think about, man, was there a time that maybe, you know, they gave a hint that they were like a false prophet? And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, back then, I wouldn't have seen it, but now I do. You know, some of the conversations and stuff. I remember when we first found the building. By the way, Alex helped us find the building there that we have in L.A., and Garrett was there. And Garrett just kept harping on the fact that he would say, yeah, you guys are going to have a bunch of reprobates on your first day. You're going to have a bunch of reprobates here protesting. And I was like, really? Like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah. Right? And then when we found the building, you know, I'm like, wow, this is a nice building. You know, it's the windows and all. And he's like, oh, yeah, you guys are going to have a ton of reprobates here. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, like, this is going to be a busy week. You know, I got to prepare a sermon and then we got the sodomites coming, I guess. But he just kept harping on that. And my theory is that he was just trying to scare us out of being a part of that church. He was probably hoping that I'd be like, well, you know what? I don't think I can do this. You know, but I come from Long Beach where there's faggots all over the place. There's homos all over the place there. I don't want to say I'm used to, but I can't. I mean, they're there. It's not like I come from like some state where there's no sodomites whatsoever and then this is going to be my first encounter with them. You know, they're there. I'm like, okay, well, you know, bring it on, I guess. But you know what? That's the only truth that he did tell. Because guess who was the first reprobate to come to FWBCLA? Garrett Kirschway. And in fact, he lied a little bit because he said on the first day, he came before the first day. But the Bible says, they're unto every good work reprobate. The Bible says in Isaiah 32, in verse number 6, for the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. You know what's a glaring characteristic of a false prophet? They're just hypocrites. You see, I'm not talking about like you believe something wrong before and now you believe right and you admit, man, I was wrong on this issue. I'm talking about someone who believed one thing at one time, then switches to believing another and completely deny the fact that they ever believed the first thing. It's like, you're a hypocrite. You know, and obviously Christians are capable of being hypocrites. We understand that. But this is specifically tailored for a false prophet. Why? Because they can't tell the truth. Brother Stuck and I were talking about this earlier. You know, he's like, I don't know how, you know, because if he's a false prophet, eventually that would have came out of his mouth. But the problem with Garrett was this, is that he was always quiet. He probably knew if I open my mouth too much, something's going to come out. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So he's probably like, I got to keep my mouth shut because wickedness is going to spew out. So they're hypocrites, bunch of lying hypocrites who speak out of both sides of their mouth. The Bible says in Matthew 23, go with me if you would to Luke chapter 12, that these people, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous and unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You know, the biggest examples of this in the Bible are the Pharisees. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, what's interesting is that these Pharisees, the Bible would often talk about, or the Bible talks about how Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? Well, when he's talking about leaven, what is he talking about? Their teaching. What is their teaching? Well, look what Luke chapter 12, verse number 1 says. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known, the Bible says. Eventually they'll be found out. Why? Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's why I love these clips that, like, Pastor Anderson's putting out, Brother Stuckey puts. It's great because it's so easy to find material on these guys. Because they're always saying different things, and you can just blend them in and put one clip after another, and we all have a good laugh. It's like, this is so funny. I can't believe they didn't even think about this. Well, yeah, they didn't think about it because they're false prophets who are hypocrites, according to the Bible. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Save thyself, and don't think you're above it. Save thyself. Verse number 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So it's telling us there that we need to refuse these things, these teachings of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It says, refuse profane. That means unholy. What's an old wives' fable? Well, I'm sure you've heard this term before, an old wives' tale. That's basically a supposed fact that's actually fictitious, is what it is. And the way it goes is that it would be like a mother passing this story down to her daughter from generation to generation. You say, well, why does it say that in the Bible? Well, because that happens with false teachers. I mean, 10 years ago, when I got saved 11 years ago, I got saved in Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And I didn't even know the term modalism or oneness. We knew it as the Jesus-only movement. And that it came from who? The Pentecostals. We would never would have thought that the Baptists would have given heed and accepted such a false doctrine. It's stupid. But you know what? It's happened. What is it? It's Baptists who have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, these old wise fables that have been passed down from heretic to heretic, from the Pentecostals to the Baptists. And that's what we see there. It says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So the Bible is telling us here, this is what you're supposed to do. Don't just reject the false gospels. Don't just reject the false doctrine. You need to exercise yourself unto godliness, the Bible says. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at verse number 8. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, I believe in verse 8, when it says bodily exercise profiteth little, you know, obviously it's in reference to, in context, abstaining from meats and stuff like that. And it's talking about, it spends a good portion of the first chapter talking about food. But it says here, you know, that's good and everything to take care of your body. It's good to exercise. It's helpful in this life. But more important than that is that you exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Place an emphasis on that which is spiritual. And we need Christians today to stop being so temporal-minded. And by the way, that's what social media does to us sometimes. If we spend too much time on it, we become too temporal-minded. You know, it's like you wake up in the morning, you're just like, oh, I got to see what's going on. What's the new post? You know, I got to get it, you know. And you go to sleep with it. You just, but you know, why don't you just exercise yourself rather into godliness? Why don't you read your Bible instead? Why don't you spend some time in prayer instead? Hey, here's a novel thought. Why don't you spend your time meditating on the Word of God? No music, no YouTube, no Facebook, no Instagram. Just you sitting there thinking about the Word of God. Can we do that? You know, our knowledge and our depth of the Bible will increase so much the more if we spend time doing those things. Why? Because it's profitable, the Bible says. You don't have to turn there, but the Bible says here in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So it's telling us here, hey, you need to keep reminding people in the church that they need to maintain good works. But look at the contrast it gives us. So it says maintain good works because that's profitable. And look at the contrast, verse number 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain, the Bible says. And then it follows up with this. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself, the Bible says. So that's not an accident that all that is clumped up together right there. It says, look, what you need to do is make sure that you're maintaining good works. He said, well, how's that even in relation to what the Bible's just said right there about rejecting the heretic and all these things? Because I believe this is what the good work it's talking about. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in fact, it goes on to say in that same verse after that, in verse 16 it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So it's not an accident that all these verses are together. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Then he says this, but shun, reject, profane and vain babblings. Go there if you would. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I mean, that if that doesn't ring true today, I mean, I don't know what does. You say, well, you know, oneness, they just believe in one. No, it takes you into all kinds of weird doctrines. You know, like the angels, right? All these stupid doctrines. You start believing all kinds of nonsense. It's like the gateway drug of false doctrine. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So it says here that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they've erred. I don't believe that they were saved, because it's talking about there, they're talking about that the resurrection is already past. But you know what happens is here, what happened here is that at the end it says they've overthrown the faith of some. So yeah, they're not saved. They've erred from the truth. They've completely turned away from what the Bible actually says. But in doing so, what happens? They begin to teach babes in Christ, people in churches, and they cause them to err from these truths. Now, what is a canker? Canker is a diseased tissue that corrupts the surroundings over a period of time. It's like a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump is what it is. That's why it's important that we don't allow any kind of false doctrine to enter into the church. Okay, we don't allow any false doctrine come in here. That's as soon as you hear about someone teaching something that's slightly different from something that is very much important in the Bible, we need to nip it at the bud. We need to make sure that we cut it off. We need to make sure that we tell Pastor Jimenez. We need to make sure that we rebuke it. We need to make sure that we cast it out of the church. Why? Because a church like this that is constantly soul winning, that means new babes are going to keep coming in every single week. New Christians are going to come in, and they need to be protected from these false teachers. You say, who's Hymenaeus and Philetus? Tyler and Garrett? Hymenaeus, a.k.a. Tyler? Philetus, a.k.a. Garrett? I like Garrett at one point. You know? And look, to be honest with you, this whole situation, Brother Stuckey said it as well, is it's opened my eyes even more to who Judas really was in the Bible. I don't know about you, but maybe this is just me. I remember just when I would read about Judas or think about Judas, I picture him like being real evil looking, you know, plucked eyebrows, looking down, you know, some just a weird goatee or something. Just look evil. It's like very suspicious looking. But you know who Judas really looked like? He looked like Garrett. Humble, kind, meek, quiet. In fact, I'm sure Judas was a soul-winning machine back in those days. I'm talking about, that's what they called Garrett. You know, we all thought he was a soul-winning machine. Constantly working. That's why no one suspected Judas. But you know what? You say, well, how can we avoid that? We're not going to avoid it. What we need to make sure that we're doing, though, is we're saving ourselves. You know, this ought to instill awareness in your lives to say, man, I need to make sure that I'm in the fight. I need to make sure that I'm reading the Bible. I need to make sure that I'm on par with God, with doctrine. You know, I need to make sure that as a husband, my wife is not passing me up spiritually. Amen? I need to make sure that as a husband, I'm teaching my wife. I'm making sure that I'm bringing order to my home. I'm making sure that I know doctrine. I need to make sure that I'm on par and I'm on, because we're in the latter times. False doctrine is coming from left and right. We need to make sure that we're saving ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 4, go back there if you would. It says in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Now remember that we just read in verse 7 that we need to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness, right? It says, hey, refuse these profane teachings. Make sure you don't give in to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Hey, exercise yourself rather unto godliness, he says. Well, how does that look like? Verse 13 tells us how it looks like. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now in context, we understand that the reading aspect is reading in the church. But I think obviously we could apply that personally to say, hey, we need to be reading. And it says there, to exhortation to doctrine. What is that? Teaching it. So we're not just reading it. Guess what we're doing? We're also teaching it. Teaching it to other men in the church, men. Ladies, teaching it to your children. Making sure that the word of God is constantly coming out of your mouth. That's how you exercise yourself rather than to godliness. You're constantly reading. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by the prophecy with the laying of the hands of the presbytery. So it's telling us here, look, this is the way you're going to save yourself from false doctrine. This is the way you're going to help others from false doctrine. You need to make sure you're exercising yourself unto godliness. You're reading. You're giving heed to these things. You're making sure that you're teaching doctrine. It's the most important aspect of your Christian life. Make sure you're giving attention to these things. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Well, so what this is telling us here is that obviously the profiting that we're referring to is that godliness, what does it do? It profits us. Well, you know what? Often what happens is this. When you're walking the walk, you don't need to talk the talk. When you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're soul winning, you're meditating, you're memorizing scripture, you're studying, you don't have to tell everyone that you're doing it. Why? Because your profiting will appear unto all. You know, you don't need to boast about you how great your walk with God is and how many chapters of the Bible you just read and all these things. Why? Because people will just know that, according to this verse. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear unto all. And this doesn't mean like thy profiting so you could just like walk around like, man, yeah, I'm the man. Yeah, I got that chapter memorized. And I already finished the Bible. Going on my fifth time this month. You know, no, it means this, is that you'll be godly. And typically godly people are very humble people. You say, well, what about Garrett? He was humble. Yeah, but now we know he's a false prophet. See, it was revealed. So now we understand that he wasn't. We're talking about people who, when they're actually exercised, they're saved and they're exercising themselves into godliness. What happens? They're consistent. They're consistent in the things of God. Okay, be consistent. You know, and part of exercising yourself is being in church. when the church doors are open. Don't miss church. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't be like the manner of some who they just make it to church whenever they get a chance to, or whenever, you know, we all have a good excuse why we can't go to church. Make it to church. That's part of exercising yourself unto godliness. Why? Because we need to listen to preaching. And the Bible says, despise not prophesying. We ought to love preaching. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to learn. That's how we're going to get our face ripped off. Okay? We need rebuke. That's how we can grow. Because God, you say, well, you know, Pastor Jimenez doesn't know everything about me. But yeah, but God knows everything about you. And Pastor Jimenez is a spirit-filled man. And guess what? One day he's going to mention something. And it's going to be about something that you did that no one else knows about. And your face is going to turn red. And you're going to get all embarrassed. And guess what? That'll help you to repent, to get right, to clean up your life, and to exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You see, you shouldn't get offended when Pastor Jimenez gets up here and he rips face on your specific sin. No, you know what you should do is be a good repenter. Just say, you know what? God got me. I need to change in that area. You know, obviously Pastor Jimenez loves you. Obviously the people in here love you. So don't get offended when you hear something that's against you or something that you're doing or whatever it may be. Just change. Amen. Just fix it. I don't care what he says. I'm still going to go on Facebook. I'm still going to go there. Do what you want. You know, I'm just saying, you want to exercise yourself rather into godliness, you need to hear some rebuke sometimes. Some reproving, because it's going to cause you to want to change in that area. The greatest decisions that I've ever made in my Christian life was when my pastor ripped my face off, embarrassed me. He didn't call me out by name, but I mean, he was talking about the things that I was doing. And it's just like, who told him? How does he know these things? And you know what I did? I repented. I got right with the Lord, and it helped me. We need to make sure that we're exercising ourselves, not exercising our thumbs. You know what I'm saying? Exercising yourself rather unto godliness. And the Bible tells us there, let's finish off the chapter. This says, meditate upon these things, verse 15. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. How do we take heed unto ourselves? By giving attendance to reading. And unto the doctrine, that's teaching others, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, my main goal in my personal life is to save myself, to save my wife, to save my children from false doctrine. Obviously, to see them saved first and foremost, but after salvation, to save them from false doctrine. And then I want to get behind the pulpit and make sure that I'm saving those who are in the pews from false doctrine. It's important. In the day and age that we're living, don't let anything surprise you. It's going to happen. What it should surprise you is when you're not saving yourself. When you understand that such wickedness is taking place and so many false doctrines are being spewed out, you need to make sure that you're checking yourself and that you're making sure that you're saving yourself on a day today basis. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for Verity Baptist Church. Thank you for the great people here. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you'd help us as your people to make sure that we're saving ourselves by reading the word of God, by meditating, by taking heed to the things